That's 1-800-399-7353. I prayed over this special blessed oil I have, my special blessed incense. I prayed over it for you. And those of you that got pain in your body, I want you to try Bishop Uriah's Stop Pain Healing Balm of Gilead. And those of you on today, right here in the state of Louisiana and Mississippi, if your luck has gone on vacation and you need a right now blessing from God, a right now blessing, you ought to try me. You ought to try me. If you tried all the rest, it's time for you, you and even you, to try God's best. You can be your own testimony. The number you're calling is 1-800-399-7353. Do you believe God can bless you today? Do you believe God can make a way out of no way for you? Well, all you got to do is just trying. All you got to do is just touch the hem of my Father's garment, and you can be blessed. You'll be made whole. The number is 1-800-399-7353. The Bishop want Uriah, and those of you that's calling me in right now, I know God has a miracle with your name on it. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, pick up the telephone right now and call me. Right here in McDonough, Georgia. Those of you on this another Lord special blessed moment that need God to bless you tonight, my one day, one way blessing from God. I pray on today, and I ask God to give a way into my mind to help his suffering children. Oh, the King of all the modern day prophets used to be number one, but now I'm the only one. But if you try me on today, if you try me on today, if it's your first time, many of you, you've been listening to me, you've been watching me on television, but I'm on my way to see you right here in Alexandria, Louisiana. And those of you that want to see me, you start calling me right now. If you go to the answering service, leave your name, your area code, and your telephone number. The telephone number, 1-800-399-7353. That's 1-800-399-7353. God has a miracle for you. God has a miracle with your name on it. 1-800-399-7353. My one day, one way prayer from God, the Bishop one you right. Those that's calling me in right now, I just want three more to call me. Three more of you that mean business with God and love the Lord as much as I love him. Three more of you that love the Lord, Louisiana, Mississippi. If you need a spiritual reading, a spiritual checkup from the neck up, I am a master. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I am a master in all casework. My prayer line is open. 1-800-399-7353. That's 1-800-399-7353. You ought to call me right now. Just want three more of you that mean business with God to call Bishop Uriah while I'm singing this song. I want to send you out my CD today. That's 1-800-399-7353. God has a miracle with your name on. He sent me here to help you. I see the clock on the wall. It's time for me to leave you today. God bless you. God keep you is my prayer. And I love you with the love of the good Lord.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Or wrong. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Get on your feet. Get your Bibles. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank you afresh for this opportunity to hear your word again. Meet us in the text, tell of the truth. And so, God, let the Holy Ghost move and minister underneath our skins. And then, God, challenging us to be the best that we can be. We give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 in your hearing is what I want to read. Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. And it reads, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Verse 2, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while I want to speak from the subject, I'm warning you again. I'm warning you again. Paul starts off by saying, finally. Now, this is not the last time he says finally. He almost sounds like a black Baptist preacher when he's getting ready to close 20 minutes from closing. He say, I'm closing now. And then later he closes again. And then later, yeah. Well, finally was used for emphasis sake, to remind them and to emphatically say to them that he is saying to them was not a grievous matter. First he says, brethren, talking about to the believers, rejoice in the Lord. Now, know this, because this should always be the constant state of the believer, regardless of where you find yourself in life, a state of rejoicing in the Lord. In order to rejoice in the Lord, you have to be connected to the Lord. You have to rejoice, or to resaturate your joy in the Lord, to be able to get the joy of the Lord redeposited, if you will, in your spirit. And I don't care who you are, we've got to refresh our joy every now and then. Because things happen, we go through things, we deal with things, we experience things, and they diminish the level of our perceived joy. But I got news for you. I don't care what you're going through, as in the number 73, when the man of God saw that the wicked were prospering, and he got upset, and he almost threw in the towel. His feet had all well nigh slipped, but he remembered to go to church. And he heard the preacher tell them what God was still in the business of doing. And so he rejoiced in the reality that God has got this thing fixed. So look at this, because he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Then he goes on to say, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Now, I like this because as I was coming in up and maturing in my ministry, I was of the impression that a good preacher never preached the same sermon twice. A good preacher. I was of the opinion that a good preacher who studied the word, did his homework well, prepared himself well, and preached that message once and he filed it away, never to go back to it again. That was when I was immature. That was when I was younger. That was when I didn't know better. Because what I didn't realize is that God only reveals to you revelation on a level that you can handle. And as you mature in him, you go back to that word. He gives you more later than he gave you before, because you've matured, developed, and grown to another level. So that's one of the reasons why when you go back over a message, when you go back over a text, and you get more out of it the second time than you did the first time, it's because God is now able to reveal more to you at that later time than he could before, because he doesn't put more on you than you can bear, both good or evil. And so it's important to recognize, Paul is saying, listen, I'm not having issues with going back and repeating myself. He say, I want you to realize that for me, it's not grievous. I'm not tripping. I ain't worried about it. I want to say, he preaching the same thing. It don't matter to me if you say that. He say, for you, it's safe. In other words, you'll know that I ain't changing doctrine. You'll know that I ain't changing the message. I might get deeper in it, but it's the same message with greater revelation. So for you, you're going to be better off when I go back over it again. And so I like that, because any real good teacher will know that when you teach, you go over what you're doing, but then you go back over it to make sure they got it. Some teachers say, let me tell you what I'm going to tell you. Then they tell you, then they say, let me tell you what I told you. Y'all not getting this. In other words, they want to make sure before you go that you got what they said. And so I've become more interested in making sure you get the message and you understand the lesson, rather than you be impressed with my ability to be a persuasive and powerful orator. Talk, Pastor. And so Paul is interested in making sure the believers are in the place of knowledge and understanding. And now he's dealing with something that I think is so important, because when he starts off now in verse 2 by saying, beware, he says the first thing he literally talks about is dogs. Now, this reference is literally to wild dogs. These were not the, you know, the cuddly, fluffy. This was not fluffy and wee-wee and, you know, all them sweet little names you give your little puppies. Not talking about faithful pets at all. He's talking about wild dogs. And because, look, these dogs in the Bible times were mostly vicious, untamed, foul. And here they're used symbolically in terms of men who were unholy, men who were profane, disrespectful, immoral, mean and cruel. So while he used the wild dogs of which they were familiar with, that roamed the plains and so forth, and they were looking for prey and looking for animals that had already been destroyed, almost like scavengers, and they would rob and steal, if you will, in homes and garbage cans and all. They were vicious dogs and so forth. They would attack human beings. And he says, now I want to liken these dogs to men who have the same kind of personality traits, men who are just like that, who are vicious and untamed and unholy. They're unrighteous, men who are disrespectful, immoral, cruel and mean. I want you to, and here's the word that I want you to see. He starts off with beware. And beware, listen, it here means to stay away from such creatures. It means do not fraternize with them. Do not make friends with them. Do not have fellowship with them. When you know folk like this, and he says this is important, and when he says beware, it's a warning sign. And whenever something has a sign that says beware or warning, what they're telling you is it's not safe to operate that thing in an unconscious vein. If you're going to have to deal with these folk, you better be very careful and very aware of who and what you're dealing with. And so he says, beware, don't fraternize with them, don't fellowship with them. If you have to deal with them with the wisdom and understanding of knowing what you're dealing with. That means literally don't take your eyes off them. Because vicious dogs, they walk around, they're looking for a point and a place to attack. And they're just looking, and a lot of times what you don't realize is wild dogs traveled in packs. So if one didn't get you, they checking you out, they're peeping you out, they're trying to make sure they can find the easy point of attack on you. So you've got to be mindful. And listen to this, the most people that were attacked were those who were unmindful, unthoughtful, and those who were unaware. You realize that some folk have not done what they thought to do to you because you were on alert? Lord, I wish I were talking to people who were listening to me today. There are a lot of things. Some people that might have tried to rob you didn't rob you because you looked at them and saw something about them. And they noticed your body language and you tensed up like, I'm ready for something. Now go ahead now. Not somebody that just walked by, don't know what's going on. They might hear, cloop up, you know, just take their stuff because they don't even, you know, they're not even aware of their surroundings. They're not even looking at folk who are looking at them. And something is wrong when you look at somebody and they can't look you in the eye. That's why I like to look at them. look. Look good. No, I ain't gonna look and drop my eyes, nothing. So, ooh, pastor, he routed. No, pastor is aware. I go out in the street and deal with them. If I'm going out in the street, I got to know what I'm dealing with out in the street. All right. Wherever I am, I'm aware of my surroundings. You know, God didn't call me to minister to all good people, to witness to all saved people. That's redundant. I got to go where the fish are if I want to go fishing. And when I go fishing for the fish, sometime I got to watch out for the snakes. Y'all ain't hearing me here today. And so whatever it is, you've got to be aware of. Because now listen at this. He starts off by saying, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now here's a helpful holy hint. While you are rejoicing, every now and then, depends on where you're rejoicing at, you got to be aware. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes, my brothers and sisters, people will try to get you in a state of worship or a place of praise or a place where you're focused on God to be unaware of what's going on around you. And so he wants you to be wise in your walk. You know, you can't do it all in church. You got to do it in the world, at your workplace, in your neighborhood, even in your home. And so he wants you to beware so that you again are focused on the things again that God would have you be aware of so you are not taken advantage of. Now look again, when he tells us again, beware of dogs and liken men who have those kind of vicious characteristics and untamed and foul attitudes about them. It's important because when we make friends with these creatures, you need to understand that these kind of folk will defile your life. They will ultimately corrupt your morals. There's nothing good in a fellowship with foul folk. If you hang around foul stuff, the odor gets on you. Have you ever gotten out of the car and went into the store, 7-Eleven, any one of these places like that? You wasn't in there but for a minute. You came out and you smelled all like smoke and stuff. People are like, well, you been smoking? No, I don't. Where you been? To the store.
Say it that way.
Well, I'm trying to make a point real clear. See, where you are, the very aroma, the very essence, the very smell, it clings to you. You don't even have to participate. Let me get real with you. You know, I was young, and God called me at a young age, and I didn't do a lot of things that young folk did. But I did have some friends, and I had to learn certain things. You know, and they smoked regular cigarettes and unregular. And regardless of what they smoke, if I were in their company, if I was present with them, the essence of what they smoked got in my clothes. And mama would never ever let me come in the house smelling like smoke of any sort without asking me about the smoke she smelled. And I would tell her about the what's because that was one thing. It was always a clear and open policy. Mama communicated real clear about whatever was whatever. And I was always clear and open with her and so forth. Because I never forget the time I tried to smoke a cigar. You know, that was what I wanted to try. Because I didn't know folk look cool smoking cigars. You know, and I threw up and everything else. And I told her, look, you know, I smell like I tried a cigar. I don't want to smoke no more because that was the adverse effect it had on me. But we had it real like that. But when I would say that, she said, well, you know what? Those are not the kind of friends I want you to hang out with. Because sooner or later, even if you don't participate, the very essence of that atmosphere will cling to you. And it so happened one time we were going, some friends and I were supposed to be going somewhere, and it was a car full of us, and I forgot my money. And they couldn't wait on me. And they left me. And I got a call later that all of them had gotten put in jail. Y'all not here. Really understand what mom was telling me. Just being in the wrong place with the wrong people at the wrong time will get you in some wrong things, and you don't even have to be doing them. She didn't have to worry about me hanging out with the wrong folk no more. And so what I'm trying to help somebody understand is you don't want to build friendships and relationships. You don't want to fraternize nor fellowship with folk with these kinds of attitudes, ambitions, activities, or etc. Because some way, somehow, some shape, some form, it clings to you. It speaks something about you that's not totally true. While you may have been with him, you may not have been doing what they were doing, but the smoke says to someone who don't know the full story, you're guilty. And so sometimes it's just the folk you hang out with. You ain't got to be one. But the world's perspective is birds of a feather. You don't usually see turkeys and chickens hanging together. You don't see hawks and eagles hanging together. See, what the world will say is, even if you're not one, you must have tendencies. You catch that on, pew, right on, you catch it on your way home. Now listen at this. That's the first beware. Tell your neighbor, beware. You can't use that old, hey, they just my friend, they just this. I ain't like that, I ain't gonna do that. Hang around long enough, association brings on. All right, let's look at the second beware. Beware of evil workers. While you may not see a whole lot of difference between evil workers and dogs, I want you to know that the term evil workers carries with it the ideal of deceitfulness. Deceitfulness. See, the dogs ain't trying to be deceitful. They just doggish. Y'all didn't catch that. They ain't trying to hide that doggishness. They either big dog, medium-sized dog, or little dog. But they all dog.
And so they ain't trying to hide the fact that they are. They tell you don't hate the player. There you go to acting holier than thou now. Hate the game. It's a dog eat, dog wear. That's the mentality. They ain't trying to hide it. Do unto others first before they do to you. That's the dog mentality. It's just the dog in me. I done touched a nerve here somewhere. It don't matter, it's still a dog. The idea of evil workers is that they are deceitful, hiding under the cloak, wolves in sheep clothing, smile in your face, all the time wanna take your place. You know what that group called them. Backstabbers. Listen at this. They're shrewd, evil workers. Crafty, fast talking, and I don't mean fast talking just as words coming out of their mouth. I mean telling you things so much so that you can't think about them and don't give you time to think about them or digest them. They're trying to make you make a quick decision about what they're saying. All right, if you really recognize the deceitfulness of evil workers, they're trying to fly under the radar. They're trying not to be discovered before they finish doing what they have attempted to do. They're trying to prevent discovery before disaster. And so you've got to be aware of evil workers. He really makes this clear, because what we many times don't understand is how we underestimate evil workers. In a nutshell, an evil worker is a worker of evil. Anything that is not thus said the Lord. So he says, beware of evil workers, because if you're dealing with them, and regardless, because again, their shrewdness, their craftiness, their deceitfulness works in every area and every arena unless discovered. Paul deals with false prophets and false teachers. He deals with people with false faith, and on and on and on within the church and in the structure of the church. It's not a problem that consisted only of the world and the worldly. He had detected that kind of spirit in the church. And so many folk were deceived by those who were evil workers in the church, working in the name of the Lord, but with an appetite toward their own pleasures and desires, who were actually angels of the enemy, who were really workers of iniquity, who were really sent from Satan. And yet they were dressed up in church folk, and they knew the church verbiage, and they knew how to raise up hands that were unholy, and they knew how to tweak their dance from the club to the church and make you think that they were having a holy encounter with God. He brings out a whole lot of stuff that wasn't right in the church that mimicked the world, and church folk were being deceived by. Listen at this. If the church is and serves as a hospital, then you got to know you got some sick folk in the church. The only problem is many of them won't let you know how sick they really are. They pretend to be well. Jesus said, listen, I didn't come to call the righteous unto repentance. No, it's not the well who need the physician, but the sick. And the problem is the people who need it the most are pretending and performing like they've got it all together. And they're the ones who ought to be crying out the most, I need thee every hour. my brothers and my sisters, when Paul deals with this,